with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say he made his fortune by selling all of his time machines a week before he bought them. It's Mark Searby.
Clever thinking. Clever
genius,
thinking. Yeah.
That is how you make money in
it
the
is.
Future.
It is. It
past.
Is. Yes. Yes, but that's what happens when you're friends with Rick and Morty, you see.
Ah, yeah, you could do these sort of
things. I mean, other time travellers are available, but for me, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, they are pretty legendary.
I love them. Love them.
They have more fun with it, don't they?
They do. They do. Absolutely. Yeah, very much more adult fun as well. Yeah, if anybody hasn't seen Rick and Morty, it's such a good cartoon series. It really is. But isn't that it's an adult cartoon series, isn't it?
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say cartoon series, I'm picturing.
Yeah. We should say that.
Sort of cartoons. But
yes.
It is certainly not.
Yes. Oh, I've heard Rick and Morty's really fun. Why don't we get all the kids around? No. Absolutely not. No. That's a shame. I wonder if they'll make a Rick and Morty movie. That would be good, wouldn't it?
They might. I can see that happening.
Well, yeah. We've had Simpsons.
I dare say you'll be on it.
Yes, we've had Simpsons. We've had Bob's
Burgers.
Chip and Dale as well. So it's very much in vogue. So maybe we'll get it at some point. I hope so.
Make it happen, people.
Yes.
For now, though, what have you got for us?
So this week,
slightly different.
Let's talk about a British film that's in cinemas. It's called Good Luck to You, Leo Grand. It is about... good luck to him. Good luck to Leo, to be honest. it's the story of Nancy Stokes, who is a 55-year-old widow who is yearning for some adventure, human connection, and some sex. Good sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Achievable goals.
Sure. This is the thing. Yeah. I mean, you've seen the trailer on this. It is mainly two people in a hotel room throughout its entire runtime.
Yeah.
It's very similar to watching a play. It's not a play, okay? It's not a play that was made into a film. It's not. But there is something very not play-like. Is that a thing you can say? Not play-like?
Not play-like.
Not stage-like? Yes. I don't know. About how this film is. And I think that's down to its human nature aspect of things, in that we enjoy watching Nancy and or Leo not in the throes of sex, but rather in the wider discussions that they have about life and love and being over the hill once you pass 42 years of age. That's what Nancy says in the film, okay? Before anybody starts having a go at me, it's mentioned in the film.
Her words.
Yeah. So it's this is an intimate film, but it's dealing with some very big subjects. So it's focusing on Nancy's want to have sex with somebody who isn't her husband. He passed away several years ago, basically. Yet she's nervous because it's so out of her comfort zone. And there are times where you feel for Nancy because she's so afraid of taking that next step. Even taking her clothes off, she's really afraid of doing that in front of somebody. And there are times where Nancy makes you angry because you can see she's holding herself back. And then there are times when you feel that connection with everything Nancy is saying about losing sight about what she and humans in general, I guess, need, which is pleasure. No matter what sort of pleasure it is, humans need pleasure to make us feel happy and fulfilled.
Yeah.
And Nancy feels like she hasn't really experienced that in her life. So, you know, this film is hitting some really high notes when it's talking about pleasurable experiences.
It sounds like, a bit of a naughty film, doesn't it? But I think actually it's not really.
Do you know, it's really interesting you bring that up, because people will look at the trailer, people will look at the poster and go, oh, that looks like it's a bit of a naughty film. It's really not. Yeah. It's really
It's only
not.
A 15.
Yeah, it's really not. It's a really thoughtful movie. There is also a lot of thought put into this, talking about sex workers. So Leo Grand is a sex worker, which obviously could be a very sticky subject to focus on, yet writer Katie Brand and director Sophie Hyde do it with a sort of fun and entertaining viewpoint, but very much rooted in the real world. Leo is a very confident young man, but not too confident. That's the thing. He isn't afraid to say that he's a sex worker and that he enjoys what he does. However, as Nancy starts to peel back the layers of Leo, we start to uncover some dark secrets that he has. So while the first half of this movie is a buoyant, upbeat comedy about sex and, you know, sexual desire and sexual repression and everything else that goes with it, the second half of the movie is a bit more serious. It's about not lying to yourself and to others, you know, to finding who you truly are. And once again, this film is asking and answering some really big questions on a couple of big subjects that I don't think we've seen in filmmaking for quite a long time. I think Emma Thompson and Darryl McCormack are absolutely brilliant in the lead roles. They make such an entertaining duo. Emma Thompson's like skittish Nancy is the polar opposite to the supremely confident Leo. Yet that's what makes this duo so engaging to watch. You know, what is it they say? Opposites attract.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Exactly what
that is. That's exactly what it is. And there's a sort of dance to watching them try to get to the point of actually just going on the bed. Never mind about anything else. There's this weird sort of will they, won't they even make it to the bed? Never mind about taking
almost like a bit of a romance.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. So we have a film here that's about pleasure and how women of a certain age and beyond that are seen as over the hill and they're discarded. Forget pleasure about them. It needs to be, you know, 20-something women, you know, with tanned bodies and whatever else. Yet this film is saying, no, it's not about the younger generation. It's actually about the older generation, the fact that everybody needs pleasure, no matter your age. It's hugely entertaining, really fun. I laughed a heck of a lot at this film. And yet, right at the centre of it is a very, very emotional message that I think will hit quite a few people very hard. I did not expect to come away from this movie having had a lot of the emotions that I did in this film.
Yeah, I think from the writer, from the description of it in the poster, I don't know, you get a different thing from what, when you see the trailer,
yes.
You think, oh, this actually seems like a really lovely film.
Yeah, that's it. Do you know what? You're absolutely right. It's a very lovely movie. So as much as we're talking about sex and sexual desire and pleasure and everything else like that, it's not a naughty movie.
No.
That's the thing. You know, yes.
It's got Emma Thompson in it. Emma Thompson does anything.
Listen.
Less than marvellous, does she?
You're absolutely right. And I came home and I said to the other half, if I was playing Leo Grant, I would have paid them to be in a romance sex movie opposite Emma Thompson. I would have paid them. But, you know, this is two good-looking people. Emma Thompson, beautiful. Darryl McCormack, I mean, incredibly good-looking guy when he takes his top off. He seems to have most of the – half the film he's got his top off, and I'm like, just put it back on. You're shaming quite a few of us, you know. But
be fair.
they're good-looking people, and that's the thing. But at the same time, they're talking about things that – hit all of us where we think we're not good looking people. There's a whole thing about Emma Thompson being afraid, Emma Thompson's character Nancy being afraid to look in the mirror.
Yeah, amazing.
Great stuff.
Good filmmaking.
Yeah, really good filmmaking. Well written, well acted, well directed. Just good from top to bottom. Really, really good.
Top to bottom. That's it.
Sorry.
Nicely done. Good luck to you, Leo Grande.
Yes.
Where's it on to?
So this is in cinemas. Yes, it's in cinemas.
Nice. Lovely. What else you got for us, Mark?
So on digital platforms, digital download, all the usual places where you can stream, pay for streaming movies, we've got a film called Unplugging. So the synopsis reads, to revive their marriage and reconnect, a couple takes a self-prescribed digital detox weekend to a remote mountain town. What starts as a perfect weekend getaway without technology quickly spirals out of control.
That sounds like what everyone needs to do, but also very terrifying.
Yes. I mean, you can see why this film exists, can't you? Let's be honest.
Yes.
It kind of wants to go, hey, we're all really addicted to our phones or our tablets or, you know, whatever technology we use. And, you know, we're not seeing the destruction that it's doing to our own lives and those around us. I mean, it's a comedy. So it's not going to do a deep dive into any sort of psychoanalytical processes. Instead, Unplugging just sort of pokes and prods a little bit as to saying, hey, you're on your phone too much. Stop it.
Yeah.
Look at where you are. Pick your head up. You know, but then the film doesn't really do that with any great gusto either. And, you know, early on we see Janine is addicted to technology because that's the way she's wired due to her work. She wakes up in the middle of the night and looks at her emails and stuff like that. Her husband has the epiphany to unplug and go off the grid for the weekend. So really the film is mainly pushing the narrative that it is the female, the workaholic female, that is addicted to technology, not the husband. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Not the teenage daughter either, but the 40 something woman.
It's a nice at an angle.
It's a bit of a strange angle though, I thought, because surely it's not really about that. I don't think it works that well either. It all feels very forced to have Janine be the main focus when in fact Dan, the husband, is just as bad early on in the film. I mean, out of nowhere, suddenly, he's not. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
And then once they're in the middle of nowhere, you know exactly what's going to happen for the rest of the film. I mean, there's no great surprises when they can't get a phone reception and then things start getting a bit weird and away from the actual premise of the technology detox. And it turns into a survival comedy. It's a change and a half for the film. And one that I think is probably the best part of the film, because Eva Longoria, who plays Janine, and Matt Walsh, who plays Dan, actually get to do some proper comedy. Some slapstick comedy that we know they're both very good at. You know, Matt Walsh obviously was brilliant in Veep. Eva Longoria was really good doing comedy in Desperate Housewives. So we know she's good at it. We know they're both really good at it. It's just a shame the film leaves it so late. That's the issue for me.
Okay.
So I think the final third of the film is actually pretty good, and I did laugh several times at it. But the rest of the film seems to be trying to hammer home the point about addiction to technology, and it's just failing at it really badly. Of course, it isn't lost on me that we're watching a film about technology addiction via a digital streaming service, via
streaming
our phones or tablets or whatever. You know, look, it's not lost on me. Okay. That's fine. It's just the film.
They deliberately put it out on streaming just for that reason.
Well, that's clever marketing then, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. You know, that's what these people do very cleverly. Look, the film isn't the best. Okay. But there are some funny moments.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer. I mean, it looks like a laugh, and it does look like it all gets completely out of hand by the end.
Yes.
But like you say, an interesting message.
An interesting message, yeah, absolutely. The message is lost by the end, but hey, never mind. If you know, I think the thing is, if you enjoy the end, then that's worth it. Because I enjoyed the end. I thought it was good fun.
Did it inspire you to unplug?
Not really.
Not really.
No, it just inspired me to maybe take the weekend off or something. That was it.
Yeah.
Just go away somewhere, you know.
Avoid drones at all costs.
Avoid drones, yes, because the drones sort of, they seem to think that the drones are following them and they are being controlled by people. This is where the spiral starts, basically, and it goes off from there into a survival comedy.
Nice. Unplugging, ironically available on all digital streaming.
Yeah, exactly. All available on digital platforms. Yes. Yeah.
Best enjoyed on your phone.
Brilliant.
nice. What else you got for us?
So The Batman is now on DVD and Blu-ray.
The Batman.
The Batman. Yes. Obviously came out in March. Cinemas did very, very well.
Yes. Robert Pattinson. Assuming the cape.
Indeed. Did so well, in fact, they've greenlit a sequel. So,
have they?
Yes. It looks like the majority of the cast and the director will be back and everybody else, which is good.
Nice.
You know, for me, this is such a different departure to the Batman. You know, people were comparing it to Christopher Nolan's trilogy, the way that it was more about the Dark Knight than saying the Batman. And I kind of see that. It's close to Batman Begins, because this is a Batman coming of age story. You know, he says he's only been doing it a couple of years. He's unsure of what he's doing as well. It's a very different Batman. You know, he isn't afraid to kill either. And that's okay. A huge subject in the Batman fandom. I'll tell you that now. Should Batman kill or not? That's a huge subject. Mm. This is probably the nastiest Batman film there has been to date. I'd said previously it's rated 15 by the BBFC. That's absolutely right. I think it is mid to top level 15. There are several key moments in the film where the Riddler uses traps that would not be out of place in a Saw movie.
All right.
There is a lot of gunplay in it. There is a lot of confrontational violence. There is a lot of sadisticness as well, especially from the Riddler. So as I said, different Batman. Very, very different.
Grown up Batman.
Christopher Nolan's Batman was grown up. Tim Burton's Batman was grown up as well. That's the thing. But this is different. This is playing to the modern era, certainly in the US. That's the thing. You know, with its gun violence and what we're seeing recently, this Batman is shining a spotlight on that, I think, to a certain degree with the amount of gun work in this. But a lot of it is down to Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne Batman. It's a very, it's very emo Batman, okay?
Emo Batman.
Yeah. It would be, that's the thing. There's a lot of moodiness. There's a lot of grunting. There's a lot of stuff.
Listen to My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, exactly. That's the type of music you can imagine him listening to. So the other thing I'm kind of impressed with as well is gone is the gruff Batman voice, because let's be honest, it's been done to death. It couldn't get any deeper, could it? So
no.
What we have now is a Batman who still has a sort of, you know, lower pitch voice. But
like he smoked a couple of fags.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so. But it's more about the looks and the gestures. And you get a Batman who you're unsure whether you should be rooting for or not. And I think that's interesting because ultimately Batman is a good guy. You know, he is one of the good guys. But you're unsure because of what he's doing. I'm really impressed with Pattinson's version of Batman. Very different take. One that I think is, as I said, close to Christian Bale's in Batman Begins, but away from all of the other bits. That's what I like about it. I like the rest of the cast as well. I thought Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman was brilliant. Colin Farrell as the Penguin. I'd said this before, I'll say it again. Looks and sounds and almost is channeling De Niro's performance in The Untouchables. John Turturro as Carmine Falcone is great. You know, just a nasty guy. Nasty. Hated him, really. And talking about nasty, Paul Dano as the Riddler, you can't get any nastier. This is, I'd said it earlier, sadistic.
Yeah.
Really dark. You know, if anybody saw his performance in Prisoners opposite Hugh Jackman, they'll understand where it's coming from in this, because that's how dark it is. It is, I mean, it's bleak. It's really bleak. There's bits where I'm like, really? We're going here?
So he's not wearing all green and laughing like that.
That's the thing. He is wearing green, but it's a very dark green, and there isn't, you know, there's not much laughing until later on in the film, actually. But that would be a spoiler telling you when that happens. But it's just a brilliant performance. My goodness, what a performance. You know, it's just such a different take. Again, you know, like Pattinson's take on Batman, this is a different take on the Riddler. I think this is, you know, I said this before, this is a movie that takes Batman back to what he is, which is a detective. So all well and good saying he's got all the gadgets and gizmos and whatever else, but he's a detective. He's not a superhero. That's the point of Batman, you know.
Blurs the line between the cops and the
rest. exactly. And we've seen Batman, previous versions of Batman, be almost a superhero. I won't name names. And that's not sat right, because Batman is ultimately a detective. And we see that in this as well. So I think the closest movie this film resembles is David Fincher's Zodiac. I said this before, you know, if you like the work of David Fincher, you're going to love this movie, because it's a David Fincher movie in all but David Fincher directing it.
Nice. So you're a big Batman fan. You've been a fan of that since you were a wee boy.
Yeah.
I assume you still wear the pajamas.
I've got my own outfit. Yeah, no, I'm a huge Batman.
How does Robert Pattinson sit on the scale?
Do you know, I don't, because it's such a different take, I think it's opening up a whole new area for people to explore. That's the thing. It's like when Mark Hamill did the voice for Joker. It opened up a whole new area for people to explore.
Yeah.
And then we had the Heath Ledger version as well. So I think with this Pattinson version, suddenly people have gone, oh, there is a different way of doing this character. And that's what I like about it. That's what I like about it. It's really good.
Nice.
Got to mention the Batmobile car chase. Brilliant. Brilliant. Absolutely yeah. Brilliant. Oh, my goodness. Just knocked me off my chair how good it was. Yeah, really good. So all in all, look, I'm a huge fan of this film. I was when it obviously was in cinemas. I've seen it again now. I still think it's brilliant. It's probably the grisliest comic book movie I've seen. I mean, Blade is a close second.
It's darker than The Joker.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Okay.
Yes. Right.
They're going dark.
Yeah. But you could see how Joker would inhabit this type of Gotham City.
Yeah.
Quite easily.
So greenlit a second movie. Have they got any other more characters to include?
Well, for those who haven't seen the movie, I know you haven't seen it yet. I don't want to spoil it, but there are some from this movie who we will see again.
Okay.
They haven't said anything about new characters. So we wait to see. It's just, let's be honest, it's just been greenlit. You know, it was greenlit about a month after this came out at cinemas, maybe a little bit less. So I think they're just throwing a few ideas together at the moment. But yeah, some characters will be back. I wouldn't like to guess as to who they would bring in next time, to be honest. There's such a great array of Batman villains that they could bring in that I think would be really
good. They're not short of options.
They're not, absolutely not. They're not, you know, and I'm sure there'll be people out there who go, yeah, Killer Croc. No, not Killer Croc. No. absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
The 3 hours. Did it fill out 3 hours?
No, it didn't. It really, even on second viewing, it really didn't. I sat there and I was like, wow, we're nearly 2 hours into this. That was the first time I looked at my watch, and that was just because I was curious. So, no, still does not feel like nearly 3 hours.
Nice. Good. I'm glad you're still wearing the pyjamas of pride and enjoying it. Awesome. What you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week we're going to be talking about a biopic about Elvis Presley.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've heard a few of the tracks.
Yes. Yes, yes. He put out a few little poppy numbers, didn't he, in the day? So we've got
did it right, didn't he?
A big blockbuster type biopic of Elvis Presley, directed by the man who gave us Moulin Rouge. And it also stars Tom Hanks in it as well. We're also going to be talking about a documentary called Cannon Arm and the Arcade Quest. Yes, that's right. It's a documentary about people playing arcade games.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. I knew you'd be excited. And then there's a new streaming service in town starting next week. Paramount Plus. So we will be talking about one of the debut films on Paramount Plus next week.
Paramount Plus, presumably of Paramount Pictures fame.
Indeed, indeed. So yes, there's a lot of things dropping onto Paramount Plus, TV shows, movies. I think we'll be talking about that one for a little while to come.
Excellent. I shall bring my notepad for all the details.
You're going to need it. You're going to need it. I've seen some of the stuff that they've got, and already I'm like, oh, it's going to take me about 2 years to get through the stuff that they're already dropping on release day. So, you know, never mind about what they add afterwards. But yes, there's some good stuff coming.
Marvellous. I shall look forward to catching up with you next week. Bring your login details.
Yes, we're going to need it. We're going to need it.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcast from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.